8:45 on the clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, August 20th, 2014, on Wednesday. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Warren will be gone all day. Next will be the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of the minutes for the meeting held August 6, 2014, approve all claims through August 20, 2014 in the amount of $453,661. Period. That's pretty good.
I know it. We tried to please.
You didn't round up, did you?
Well, you know, that rule.
Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve highway administrative assistant position in the amount of $16.12. Approve reappointing Rex Adams to serve on the... Okay, Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board as a representative for Gage County for another three-year term. Approve receiving and placing on file county office inventory reports. Approve utility permit 999 for Windstream Communications to directionally bore 380 feet of a fiber cable in the northeast quarter of Section 33 Township to North Range 8 East and Island Grove Township. Approve utility permit 1000 for Roger Holzing to trench an electric line located in southwest quarter Section 1, northwest quarter Section 12, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Grant Township. That is the items contained in the consent agenda 1 through 9. We need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separately.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 5 in favor. Let's see, Lytle was temporarily out of the room, and Dorn is gone all days. Next, the regular agenda contains the comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And if anyone comes in, we'll go back and address anything they'd like to share. Committee reports, building and grounds and winter lights.
We were able to get up high and get the top of the roof repaired up on the clear-up on the steeple. I did not go up in the equipment, although they wanted me to. They tried to talk me into it. I'm not sure what that meant, but... anyway, I came over while they were repairing and got everything done on both sides. And, again, I'll just reiterate what I say every time. We are so blessed to have Dave Jones as our building manager. He is so receptive to all of our elected officials and staff and does such a wonderful job of taking care of our building. And I just want to reiterate that. But that's basically all I have.
Can I comment on this? I have not noticed any buzzards on our courthouse. I think Davey's taken care of that. They are certainly on the tower, and they're all over town, but I have not noticed any on the courthouse lately.
He's a crack shot, and they know it.
And he added some more stuff up there on top, too.
Yeah, to the voodoo feathers.
Yes. Okay. Voodoo. Equalization. Voodoo dolls. There aren't seven voodoo dolls up there.
We've given all of our voodoo dolls to Dave and to the roads department, so we don't have anything for equalization today.
They're hanging upside down from
right.
The roof.
Finance and insurance.
Okay, I guess I got a lick to this job. Things the boss is gone today, but we've been working.
Terry, there's a regular budget discussion. Do you want to? Don just told me.
This will be fairly lengthy, so if you want to wait until
we'll do that later. We'll just go back to that. Is that all right?
Yeah,
give
great.
You more time.
Sure. Well, I need more time. But as far as the insurance part, I think we have some coming on up on that too, and Danny would speak to that. But. We've been working on budgets and insurance, you know, fairly regular here, and we think we've got the final plan in place. So I'll review this. I've got a cheat sheet here from Myron, so we'll go over that when time comes in.
Okay. HR, Employee Relations?
No report.
Law Enforcement, Emergency Management?
Not much going on. I think on the law enforcement side, I believe that the sheriff and the courthouse officer are both getting prepared to bring a plan in front of us as far as courthouse changes. I believe that'll be coming soon, and we'll have a discussion. Past that, there wasn't a whole lot that went on Monday in the committee meeting. So.
Right back to you, Terry.
All right. Road and Bridge. Well, the big topic, I think, and John can address this a little more than I, is that we're on the last county road now, the Wymore-Liberty stretch of overlays. The last time I've been down there a few times this last week, the what I've noticed was the last two big culverts are in place now. And I think Galen said the third one in that stretch that we had decided to do will be delivered this week or next or somewhere in short future. But those will not be installed until after the overlay is done. This time frame where it worked out, we had no other choice than to do it afterwards. So Galen and the crew are throughout the county doing some other culverts that we've had scheduled to do in. So whenever that fits, he'll move down there and do these. And work on that bridge down there is progressing also. Galen, give us a review on the Philly North Bridge. Another, I think they're doing a good job there. I think they're progressing along real fine on that bridge, and I think it'll be completed, I mean, quicker than most people think. So hopefully that keeps on moving. Powell Pit, also Galen said that, and we knew it was going to happen, they run out on supply of gravel. I mean, it's just what they can produce every day, so there's lines. So most of this is township gravel, I believe. Galen, if I'm wrong about that, correct me. And so we've moved on to the Alexander Pit, but it's another 18 miles of driving to get to that next pit that has gravel location. So, like I said, we knew that was coming, but it's another expense that we'll have.
And we've kind of, Terry, pardon me for interrupting, we've kind of beat that dead horse. We're probably, in the next 5 years at least, we're going to be looking at some significant increase in trucking costs because of the pits that are there. The pits are out there. We're just going to have to go further to get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that'll increase
right.
the cost. And yeah. So that's just a reality for us.
Of course, we were going through budgets, and we discussed, and I think that's coming up later, too, that the bond on that 09 internal road bond, Don felt that we could pay that off early. The money will be there, so we'll discuss that later. But that bond will be paid off and out of our hair. And I guess, John, you want to talk a little bit about the Levy Road?
In regards, just so people know, in regards to, you know, what the base of the road looks like and that, all of the road and bridge members have went down and driven that road, and Matt's went down and driven it. And multiple times. I also talked to three different contractors, local contractors that, you know, been in the business a long time, and two of them were gracious enough to take a road trip down there and look at it with me. One of them looked at it when the west half was milled, and one looked at it when the east half was milled. And both said the same thing, you know, these patches need to get cut down to they hit a solid base and then redo them. And Galen has consistently said that's what they're doing. And the base ain't, you know, what we hoped it would be when we got to this point, but it does appear that we're doing what we need to be doing. And Vince Jurgens is doing finance. He's not going to tell any stories. So I guess I will. Monday when I drove the road, the flagger was on top of Kenny Hill. And for some reason, it was a long flag time, and the first vehicle that come up behind me, and the only one, was a pickup, and they went in the pasture ahead of us, and we were there long enough to watch them get all the cattle in the corral, and she told me about fishing the Big Blue River, and the big one that got away that she would have liked to take him back to her boyfriend. And I said, so what are they doing up there? She said, well, they're digging out those cuts that they made. I said, well, I hope they're going down to get a solid base. She goes, oh, geez, that one I drove by was at least knee-deep. And then she gave me a description of what the bobcat looked down in there. It might have been my knee deep instead of her knee deep. So hopefully they are going down to get a solid base, and you know that the road will hold up reasonably well. It's probably going to have issues down the road, but we're trying to do what we can do at this point in time with that road.
Not pertaining to road and bridge, but I'll bring it up anyway. John and I attended the Boswell meeting Monday night with the city council. Our options are this, and it's going to probably be decided fairly soon, a transfer station versus a landfill. In equipment alone, it's estimated that if you had a transfer station, you're looking at $4.5 million building and equipment. If you stayed and proceeded with a landfill on the south side, buildings and equipment alone, you're looking at $9 million estimation, plus $28 million for the land liners and everything else and the requirements it would take to do another landfill. I mean, going into it, first I visualize, yeah, probably need to do another landfill, but the more we get into this thing, I think, and I think the rest of the board members are thinking about it this way too, it might be a better option to have a transfer station and move it on to Milford, David City area. They've got years and years and years of space up there, shall we say. The cost will be dramatically decreased, manpower for one. They say they don't use balers anymore. They just have a big dump area, and you drive the big semis with trailers in there, push it into it, compact it, and you're done. They got tarps, of course, cover it, haul it to the landfill, Milford or David City, whichever one you get a contract to. If you think about it, you know, the size of Gage County, and we have a landfill. No more product that goes in there yearly. We still have to have the same licensing fees, same everything else, requirements, the big ones do. So to reduce the cost, you either bring in more material or pay a higher cost. I think the direction that everybody, what I see, is going to go, possibility will go with the transfer station. Now we're looking at 5, they say 6 to 8 down the road. I'm saying 5 to 6. It'll be that soon. Before something has to be done, before this dump is filled, then you got closure costs and everything else was very expensive. I think as far as the users would be much better off going to transfer station, take the garbage someplace else, let them worry about it. I mean, that's what all the other facilities around are doing. That's what Fairbury does. Had made calls to Fairbury. They were interested in going together, you know, to get more material into there to cut the cost back. No, I had no interest in getting together with Gage County on that. So, like I say, within the next few months, a decision probably will be made, and depends on what the city council decides, and John and I were voting members on that BOSA board for the rest of Gage County. And I think splits basically like this. 30% is residential in Beatrice. 30% is commercial, which would be the big stores, the dumps, stuff like that. And the other 30% is outer Gage County. So it's about a third of people that use the dump right now. Is that correct, John? Is
that
about
right?
Roughly, yeah. About what it is. So a third of that responsibility, I guess, shall we put it, is Gage County's responsibility to find a place for their rural people to dump their garbage in there. So,
where would the transfer station location be?
Right across the road.
So the land is already C&D to the south.
Yeah, they would keep the C&D like it is. It would stay open. New structure would build on the south side, which is already purchased years and years and years ago. So,
And then that baler, was that a new one we did a year or so ago? So that, that life of that baler after 5 years will probably be
standard. They said it'd probably be needed. If and the other way to do it is to go with the baler over there and put the bales in the truck and move those. But they said they don't do that anymore because it's too labor intense. They just take the raw garbage and pack it into these high side trucks. Floor takes the dump the garbage out at the dump site up there, come back and get the next load. And I'm thinking at current amounts, they had they projected 3 semi loads a week. Is that right, John? Is that what it was? 3 or 4, maybe.
That's probably right.
At the current amount we're getting in the garbage now. So,
because I think they're at about 20,000 tons, whatever that divides into by loads a year.
So anyway, I just brought that up because Gage County is involved in that directly too. So, but like I say, I think that decision will be made here sooner than later. So I know it sounds like a long ways away, but if the decision was to go with the optional landfill there with liners and everything, that process has to be started right now, very shortly. It takes that long to go through all the regulations, red tape, and everything to do that. But I think the consensus, I shouldn't say consensus, I think what I see is I would lean to go the other way right now. So, and that's it for now.
Any questions for Terry? All right, we'll move on. Sandy Morrissey. Hello there.
Good morning.
How about Region 5
today? I had Christina Lyons join me today. I'm Sandy Morrissey, Prevention Director at Region 5 Systems, and this is my summer update for you with the new 2014-15 federal block grant funds coming into all the counties that have developed coalitions. So for Gage County this coming year, which actually started July 1, you're receiving $14,687 from the federal block grant. If you will recall, every year I remind you that these dollars are based not on population, but rather on strategic plans that are submitted by the coalitions. And these are federal dollars. Back in 2002, the federal government indicated they didn't want these prevention funds just going into agencies to serve populations only receiving those services. They really wanted them going out to communities and local people really taking a look at their local data and our regional data and our state data when it comes to substance abuse prevention and any related risk factors. What kind of strategies do they need to put into place to start to address those issues? So fortunately, Christina has been in it a long time. She's well aware not only of Gage County. She works on a statewide level at times. She's done presentations for us. She takes the lead. Actually, she's done it across the state, even within our juvenile justice, for 40 developmental assets. So the strategies that are what we consider evidence-based, the federal government has approved for those to be utilized. I don't see our prevention dollars going away from the federal government. They have listed us. SAMHSA has us prevention efforts as the top 10, within the top 10 priorities. However, they are getting very narrow in regards to what they're allowing. So we're having a little shift with coalitions. I mean, it can't be, you know, sometimes if we're doing an evening event with parents, we're thinking if we have some food to lure them in or kids with the youth activity, no more food, no more giveaways. They really want it strategy-based. So I'm really working with coalition leads and community members in terms of that's where you pull in your community. That's how we develop capacity. If we have the money for the strategies, who can help out with a couple pizzas? Who would sponsor some T-shirts if that's what the kids need? Those kind of things. So a little shift, but really it's time we get more on board with that anyway. The data within Nebraska, obviously alcohol, underage drinking, still a huge priority. Binge drinking among our 12th graders. Binge drinking would mean more than 5 drinks for a male within one setting, more than 4 drinks for females within one setting. We're really trying to help adults understand we aren't the beer police. It's not our job to monitor people's drinking. That's not what prevention is about. If you're an adult, you know, it's up to you to be responsible with your choices. But we are, when it comes to working with law enforcement, our job with strategies is to help to minimize the underage drinking, procurement to minors. And the biggest concern with that is if they start drinking at early ages, tobacco, alcohol, marijuana seems to start at earlier ages then, and by the time they're 18 or 19, oftentimes they're using other drugs. So research clearly shows if we can have them hold off till age 21 with their use, they usually as an adult are pretty responsible with their choices. Even if they go through a college purge of heavier drinking, they usually are pretty well directed in terms of their life goals. So I'm telling you, the schools have real concerns about mental health issues. Christine is on top of it with me. I mean, I've just been through a training for mental health first aid. We've got kids with very low coping skills, kids that are struggling or not even aware that they have boundaries, what that means. And so it is a family issue, the prevention efforts. And it's easy for a lot of majority of families to say, boy, it's just not happening in our family. I feel bad about, but it affects all of us, as we know, whether it's fatalities due to car accidents or anything like that. So know that we're working diligently. One thing I want you to know, on your sheet, it doesn't include, we still have about $40,000 on the table. And I want to tell you a little bit about why that is, and you'll see that there was a huge decrease with Lancaster, what they're receiving this year for federal block grant. They're usually receiving anywhere between, last year I think it was $96,000, but anywhere from $96,000 to $120,000, depending on what they need funding for with strategies. They were one of 11 counties chosen in the state. This was not an application process. They were chosen due to the state epidemiological work group overlapping 9 different pieces of data. So they were looking at child welfare. They were looking at poverty issues. They were looking at substance abuse. The 11 counties were chosen based on those high risk factors. So they're going to be receiving, they've been in 1 year of planning, so they have 4 more years, and they're receiving about $270,000 for the next 4 years. Today, this afternoon, I'll have an audit with SAMHSA. I mean, they're pretty serious about these dollars, so the federal government's coming in to look at the plan we've developed within Lancaster. So you can see they're receiving $50,000. The rest, fortunately, we're putting into rural communities. Some added to their strategic plan, and yet on a regional level, we're still looking at those $40,000, how the coalition leads want to utilize those. The $50,000 had to go into Lancaster because we can't supplant with these new funds. So anything that was previously in place has to remain within federal block grant. So that's that. But it does allow more money into the rural communities. And anything that Lancaster does, whether it's trainings, and we are developing a microsite. We're using a marketing firm called Agent. And this site will actually be educational in nature, but also a huge resource that will be used across our region. That was the intent when I really put that in front of the board with Lancaster and said, we're not getting parents to come to trainings and educational opportunities. We've got to figure out a way to get to them. So we're making it very interactive. There's even going to be kind of a survey where it'll almost seem like a game. They can choose whether they have a male or female child. It'll take them through a series of questions, and it's going to point out to them kind of their own parenting style. So they'll be just looking at it internally. Our biggest challenge is going to be marketing this and getting it out to families and people utilizing it. So know that anything that Lancaster is doing, the state is more than happy in terms of allowing the rural counties to use it. The 11 counties included Douglas County, Lancaster. As you get into Region 3, it was Grand Island and Hastings, a couple on the panhandle and a couple out north. So I think that's all. With many grants this year, know that our federal block grant, what we also set aside, we have a summer and winter cycle for many grants. I put about $24,000 aside for that. our Behavioral Health Advisory Board. I have a subcommittee that oversees those mini grants. I go to bat for the communities in terms of presenting those mini grants to them. They approve them. Christina submitted one this year that the committee was really excited about. It's going to be some equestrian therapy. I'm going to have her talk to you a little bit about that. It's really kind of a pilot in southeast Nebraska. The only other place I'm aware of within Nebraska where it's happening is out in North Platte, and that's utilizing horses in terms of working with family, children. She's even talking about veterans and really helping in terms of utilizing the horse and things you do while you're also working with them on therapy and dealing with life issues. So she's going to talk a little bit about that. But we also have about $20,000 in training funds from the state, and that helps the coalition leads. They decide how they want those training dollars spent through the year. And then we put about $34,000 into school community intervention and prevention programming within our schools. And then about $10,000 into our large youth event, June Jam. And so we're pretty excited. And that $10,000 isn't to actually run June Jam. The fee for it is about $75 per child or adult attending, and if they can come up with half, then we put the $10,000 to pay for the other half. So the event pays for itself. It's not a moneymaker. It just helps our youth board to make sure that that event happens annually.
And we have two students from Southern who are on the youth board this year.
Yes. So Gage County's well represented.
I just wanted to break down a little bit about where that $14,000 is going to. We have a big chunk that goes into media. I work with the radio station quite a bit and just events and different things, just awareness pieces. I work with that.
For the record, could you identify yourself, please?
I'm sorry. I'm Christina Lyons. I'm director of Gage County MAPS Community Coalition.
Thank you.
$1,500 goes into the youth leadership, and we do different things with the SAD groups in the schools, but also some of that money, especially last year, went to help students pay to go to June Jam. We bring in some speakers, a few things like that, into the individual schools. We have some work with teammates mentoring. We do compliance checks, high visibility checkpoints, the drug take back, and responsible beverage server trainings, all with local law enforcement. And then there's just a few other dollars that go for travel to the meetings and a small stipend for personnel. So that's how that breaks down. Any questions?
We're finally, I just want to make a statement. I want to thank both of you, but we're finally coming to the point that rural counties are beginning to understand and get out of this era of just being in denial all the time, that they can have these issues also, that they aren't just in the city. And I want to thank you because it is so important. And all of us as family members are in denial that our kids or our family members could ever have any mental health issues. But I think we have established, unfortunately, that Gage County is one of the highest, if not the highest, use of alcohol by teens and drugs. And I just had a situation this past week, 2 weeks, of a young man who committed suicide, who started using marijuana and then added a little bit more and had mental health issues, and they weren't dealt with, and he ended his life. So thank you.
Well, the mental health first aid training that we're really going to use across Nebraska, and the state is providing a little bit of funding for it, it's to actually address mental health issues with lay people. So even teenagers, we'll be working with them in regards to just identifying certain things kids are saying. Their job isn't to counsel them. It's really referring them to the appropriate resource. And if we can get that done, we can usually ward off some of those issues that seem to be perpetuate if it's for years, if no one addresses it. And so it's the mental health issues that we have a lot of kids using just to medicate their mental health issues. The marijuana sometimes isn't looked at as just fun partying, particularly if they have some attention deficit disorder, or they'll say, kids are getting real honest, it helps me focus. And that may be true on a short-term basis, but long-term, the effects of marijuana, we're seeing a lot of, you know, short-term memory loss. You know, it's just, and obviously more use of other drugs. So, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us, and we see the two working very closely together. The state and the federal government are looking at really combining mental health dollars with substance abuse. So our data is going to be all that much more important in terms of us being specific with how we're addressing our issues. And
just as a part of that, possibly, I'm working with the Nebraska Crime Commission with that grant and developing the truancy program here in Beatrice Public Schools. And we just started that this school year. And we're just getting going. But hopefully through that, we have 68 kids right now who are identified as missing 20 or more days last year. And 12, or middle school through high school. And so those kids are paired with a teacher, and the teacher is paid a small stipend, but they just make daily face-to-face contact with them if they're in school. If not, they're calling them and saying, really wish you were in school today. How can I help you get back tomorrow? We understand that people get sick, but these kids have a history of being gone a lot. And so hopefully with that early intervention, we'll be able to target those kids. Truancy is a big predictor for further criminal justice behavior, involvement with criminal justice, and so hopefully we can prevent some of that.
And I think the county attorney's been working with the school district relative to that issue also.
Yeah. So. Basically, last year we had a completely different situation, have a change in that where we're using a lot more resources in our school. District 15, Tri-County, Freeman were really good, and Wymore, as far as bringing the resources to bear in the school. We were kind of a backup, if you will. And as Christina said, we had a lot of truancy, way too much. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had three of them yesterday. And Judge Tim's he's very much a strong proponent of going to school. We have new online classes now. I'm going to have an order framed that says, no, we're going to the book where you see a teacher, which I appreciated that order. So, again, and I think this is excellent because, we need to identify them, and it brings in everything. A lot of times it's mental health, sometimes it's substance abuse. And most of the time it's framed on a family issue. Mm-hmm. These are symptoms of that problem. And the school is very good through our 1184 meetings, helping to identify those families early on. So I definitely appreciate this.
It takes a lot of different people working together to get this done, and so I think we're on the road and we're doing that. So.
Good.
And one more piece that you guys might not be aware of, we have a collegiate consortium across the state. And so university really started that. Linda Major kind of headed that up, and it's really allowing us to tap into resources through various colleges. SCC is very engaged. So know that, and what we're hoping is we can pull college kids into some of our strategies, and they may get credit or gain experience with internships. We hear it from college kids. I can't really talk to peers. If they choose to abuse, but I would like to work with younger kids. We'll hear from high school kids. Can't really deal with my peers, but I'd love to work with younger. So we're really following. If that's how they see it, if that's their perception, which of course becomes their reality, that's how we're going to drive it. So know that we're going to utilize our colleges, and I think in Region 5, we really have great resources on the collegiate level. And so, know that you'll probably see more of that being pulled into with community planning and changes. Christina may be tapping into some of those college kids with even our atmosphere within the schools and stuff, having some of those college kids work with administrators and kids in terms of how can we start to change some of those norms where people are more respectful. Boundaries are clear, and yet kids are excelling and really kind of enjoying it. That kind of thing. So I'm thinking they might have some interesting ideas in terms of how to strategize addressing social norms, because we all know that's become an issue in terms of I mean, our kids, the violence, the suicide, it's all becoming too everyday, too normal. The marijuana, we've totally confused Nebraska kids. You know,
I was going to ask that. How do you convince them that marijuana is harmful when they can go across the border to Colorado? Well, I mean, the kids can't, but a 21-year-old can go in there and buy pot in a basically grocery store. How do you convince them that it's harmful? We can't get people to pass a pre-employment drug screen because they just came back from vacation in Colorado, and it's legal there.
Right.
So how do you battle that?
Exactly. I'm totally with you. I mean, I have talked to, you know, Lieutenant Governor, and he's indicated Nebraska will be one of the last states to legalize it, but that doesn't help what we're facing, our challenges, you know. And so it's just going to take a lot more increasing awareness than people. But we had, through Lancaster County Health, we had one of our tobacco preventionists in a third grade class just doing her regular annual talking about the health risks involved with smoking, and this little kid raised his hand and said, are you talking about a tobacco pipe, or are you talking about my dad's bong? And he said it just as if it was, and she said, that's when I knew. It's too normal now. Mm-hmm. It's too normal within our homes and or certain homes. But, yeah, so I wish I had an answer for you. We're working on it. The problem is we don't have a lot of research with long-term effects. We do know some of them, but a lot of, you know, kids, they live in the moment. It's hard for them to buy into that, particularly if they see their parents using, or if they, again, if there's mental health issues and it's helping out. If it provides immediate relief, people are thinking. And, of course, the argument with heavy marijuana users is always alcohol's worse. Alcohol's worse for you. Marijuana's a plant. It's natural.
Well, so does alcohol come from plants. That's natural, too. but it is also, and this has been argued since I was in high school in the 70s, I mean, it is a gateway drug, and you soon have to go move on to bigger and better things. So, good luck.
I appreciate your concern. Yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate all you do.
All right, next I need a motion to approve or disapprove an agreement between Gage County and the Beatrice Humane Society.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Discussion. $12,000 for another annual term. Same one as last year. No changes. Discussion. Vote 6-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove Myron Dorn as a voting member for Engage.
I move to approve.
Moved by Hill.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Discussion.
Does he know this is on here since he's not here today? Or
you got to show up. You don't show up to the meeting.
I'll know next week.
Vote. 6-0 to approve. Receive and place on file a copy of evaluations for political subdivisions for 2014. We have those in front of us.
Is
she going to come back to talk about those? Okay, because that's going to be that one, that one, that one, that one. After we get through this evaluation, then we'll jump in and we'll have an insurance discussion, because that won't take long. Heavy sarcasm.
We were listening.
They're ignoring.
At least we had one representative that enjoyed that remark, yes, Mr. Malman. I noticed that, yes.
Yes, Patty, yeah. We're receiving and placing on file evaluations of political subdivisions for 2014, so I guess let's start off with just several items on here. We received preliminary requests for levy allocations from county board to the county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and the Ag Society. And then there's a couple action items down there, so basically we're we'll talk about the first two receiving the copies of the political subdivisions. So, Patty.
Okay, so are you on the resolution then, Matt?
No.
Are you on?
Right underneath Myron Dorn's appointment as the voting member. You have the agenda. But.
Oh, the valuations, okay. Yeah, that's this long sheet they have, and that's what the valuations are for the county for 2014. Like you said, John asked earlier, these are just the Gage County side of the school districts and so forth, so the others will be coming out. They're due today, so that's the valuations, and there's just a receive and a file for those. So,
would these be considered preliminary, you said?
These are the actual ones, unless something would change with the other county. I mean, with not the other counties, but with the centrally assessed just came out to me on the, I think I must have got it about the 12th of August, so we had to go through and figure everything. So we're kind of a little early because the preliminary request doesn't have to be approved until September 1st, but I don't think you guys meet until September 3rd. So I have to have these done before I can do the resolution. So as far as I know, nothing will change on this. If it does, then we'll just have to bring it back on September 3rd as amended. So sometimes the state might find out something with pipelines or what the centrally assessed involves is your pipelines and your railroads, and they give you the values of what goes through the county. And then you have to plug in the figures to the different political subdivisions. So that's that one, so. Like I said, the only thing would be is if something would change, then I just have to bring it back on this on the 3rd of September as amended.
So we have both these documents in front of us. I guess I'll go down to, do you want to talk about the preliminary request?
Yeah, on the resolution then?
Yes.
Because the resolution will need a number, I think, right, Don? Yeah. Everybody, all the fire districts and the townships had to fill up.
Are you going to go back and vote on this one? Or are you?
Yeah, I'm just following the agenda down here. We'll just discuss them. Okay, we'll go back.
You want a motion to place that first on file, though, I guess is what Don's saying.
This one here, to receive and place.
Oh, yeah, give me, a call for a motion just to place the initial valuation or the copy of the valuations on for the political subdivisions on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Vote.
Six, by whoever does.
6-0 to approve. Sorry.
Okay. Back to the resolution then. All political subdivisions, not all political, but the rural and the townships have to file by August 1st what their preliminary request will be for this year. At that time, though, they do not have the valuations in place. So that comes into the clerk's office, and then this resolution has to be done by September 1st. Ag Society and Historical Society did ask for a different amount, but we took it back to, if you go down to the bottom of the page, the Ag Society asked for $139,650, and I think that your allowable request we had down on a note for $135,000. Is that correct? That's what I set it at. And then the Historical Society asked for $31,775, and we set it at the $31,000. So that's what we did on those two. And I've asterisked those, and if you look on the back page, that basically means that those are over the amount that we wanted to allow on those particular two entities. And then when you get to the rural fire districts, everybody that's not at 3 cents on the tax rate will have to go back in and adjust their budget to get it to the 3 cents on the final budget that they turn in September. So, like Adams, Barnston, Beatrice, Odell, Pickerel will need to adjust their budgets to make it so that that's that MFO. I don't know a lot about that, but I assume that that's still in place so that everybody in the fire districts will have to have 3 cents. And then the townships, they're at 7.5 cents. The only one that I know that had a special election is Claytonia Township. That's when they have an election to go past the 7.5 cents, and they're at the .079253. And that's on Claytonia. Island Grove was also over, but I do not know of any type of an election. Sometimes those do come forth before. I think they can't have town hall meetings or whatever. But I don't know of anything that has occurred with Island Grove, so I did set it at the 7.5 cents unless somebody tells me something different. Oh, and then I guess Philly's another one that was over. So they would have to adjust their budget downward a little bit from 59 down to the second figure that I've got down there for 56. So is that confusing? Did I confuse everybody?
So. Well, I'm looking at the resolution, and these are preliminary, correct, that they had to have in, but I have a motion here to set final allocation of levy authority. So I guess if this is a preliminary, how can we set the final? I'm just looking at the agenda item here.
We have to receive their preliminary request first, and then because you have to have this set by a certain time and you don't meet we can have a special meeting, come back and set it before the first. But otherwise, you set it that you're going to give them 7.5 cents and 3 cents and whatnot, so that they know how to calculate their budget moving forward.
See that we're talking preliminary, then I just see an agenda item here as final.
Well, see, you have to receive what they submitted to us first.
Well, we can receive that, but there's actually we're not just receiving. This says setting.
Right, that's the next one. That's the resolution.
And that's the one I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about the receiving. I'm talking about the approval, setting the final allocation authority. We're dealing with preliminaries. Patty just talked about preliminaries because they had to turn theirs in, but we're going to set their final allocation. They're going to have to go in. So we'll probably have to have a special meeting to go back and redo some of this.
This is one step. The final levies then will be done in October. This is your final, this is a preliminary levy, but you're saying as the county board, from my understanding, that you're going to set it at 7.5 or lower and three cents. So this is one step that has to be approved by September 1.
Right, so I'm going to verbalize the amounts is what I'm saying because they're going to be different than here. Because right now the fire districts are saying they're less than 3 cents. If we approve what's on here as a resolution, they're less than 3 cents. And we have to come back and make it to 3 cents.
That'll be
the resolution is in conflict with the information we have in front of us. Is what I'm saying. I'm just stating that as we do this, just know that the resolution is in conflict with the information we have because it's supposed to be 3 cents, and that's because that's typically what we do in order for them to get the MFO. But what we're approving as a resolution in the document is less than that, and I'm just at fire districts, and that's just a timeline of when things have to get put in. So I guess. We'll probably have to set a special meeting to make sure that I think we had to do this last year, too.
It's always been done this way, as far as I know, Matt.
Well, I know last year we had to go back with Lincoln Township.
We amended one, I think.
There was an amendment, so from time to time, some things we have to do that.
But, see, the 3 cents will not be amended until their final budget on September, when those turned in, September 15th.
Well, 20th to the 20th. Auditor.
Those 3 cents, the final budget that is coming in on September 20th, that's the budget that'll have where they can get the 3 cents. They will have to adjust that final budget.
Correct. So what I'm saying is there's another, as we do this, we'll come back and it'll look like we're redoing it because we'll have to go back and reset that.
Now, this is how we vote. I mean, I don't know on the agenda items how if we word it different or whatever, but this is the preliminary, so... the way that we allow them to go back in and know where they're at because they did not have their valuation.
I understand. I'm just saying that what's on here isn't what we're going to be voting on. So.
No word anything. I mean.
Okay. All right. So I need to I need a motion to place this original resolution document on file just to receive and I need a motion for that.
Preliminary request. Receive these first.
We're just going to receive these first. I motion to receive those preliminary requests.
I move that we receive the preliminary request for levy allocation.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote. Discussion and vote. I guess we beat that dead horse. 6-0 to approve. Next is to... I'm just going to read the resolution. Approve or disapprove resolution setting final allocation of levy authority for the following townships... rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society.
14-17
is the resolution.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Speaking on what Matt was discussing, is there some reason that we can't just continue to say approve or disapprove a resolution setting preliminary request for levy allocation in that rather than saying final allocation? Is there a reason that it says final allocation? Because that's what, if I understand what you're saying, Matt, that's your hang up is that it says final allocation in there when it actually
it's not
isn't
the final,
final.
So we'll come back and do it again. So that's why I'm saying we'll probably have to have a special meeting to set the final.
And I think it's just the way the wording is, it's like you're voting, but keep in mind, the final one you're doing, or the last one you'll vote on down the road is a final allocation. This is a preliminary
final
look at the final. And I know it sounds weird, but quite frankly, the reason you use that stuff is because the legislature puts it in the statute. And so, again, I think with the explanation you're giving, everybody's on board with it. I wouldn't change the words just because it's taken, you know, Don takes these things right out of the statute. NACO tells us what to put in them. And I just be careful with
that. Yeah, I'm just verbalizing that.
Right. I mean, so everybody knows that this is a preliminary.
Yeah, I don't know on the statute part as far as the final.
We'll approve it as presented, and if we need to come back to approve changes, we can.
Yes. Right. Have time. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove resolution calling in for a payment of the highway allocation fund pledge bonds dated June 15th, 2009, the outstanding amount of $190,000 on September 22nd, 2014. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
14-18.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Discussion.
Matt, this is the bond that we had out there in 2009. There was road improvement. I remember in the southern area, I think it was the Wymore Road going west by the cemetery. That was overlaid, and there was something done up north.
There was something by Adams as well, I believe. There was a little stretch, I think, wasn't there? Or is that Cortland West? Was there a little bit up there that was done?
But if I remember, I mean, I wasn't involved, but I think it was an internal bond at the time.
There was a portion of road and bridge sinking, and then there was a small internal, I shouldn't say small, I think it was $1 million of internal fund that they used to get one of the gas tax allocations that we get monthly from the roads department to pay that off.
Right, and that's what's been being used to pay that off. Well, Don has indicated that we have the money there to pay this off early, and maybe Don could explain it better than I if she would want to.
It's just based on the dollar amount of the payment and the dollar amount for the tax allocation that came in. I've got some funds there with one more payment. We actually have enough that we can pay it off before the deadline. So anytime
you can pay it off early, that's a good thing, I'd say, and Denny has stated that too. If we could pay it off. So
right, the finance committee was very definite. If we can cut the money, let's pay it off and be done.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote 6-0 to approve. Next, approve or disapprove resolution to close the courthouse bond fund effective August 20th, 2014, and to transfer all monies to the general fund.
14-19. This is just the fund that we use to make the payments for the courthouse bond, which we know is paid off.
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Any further discussion?
How much money is in there we're transferring?
$19,000. Right now, $19,000 some dollars.
It's not going to go to the clerk's donut fund, is it?
Well, it might, but now you blew it, and so it is. Your donuts.
Okay. Any further discussion? Vote 6-0 to approve. Oh, let's
Terry, before I have you take up the rest of the afternoon with the budget, let's visit about insurance a little bit, please.
Okay, the Insurance Committee did meet with representatives of our provider, and we will, if you would introduce yourself, you can tell us basically what was explained to the Insurance Committee and what's being recommended, and Don can comment also. We've had discussions on this if she wants to, as far as the employees are concerned. But
thank you.
If you'd introduce yourself, please.
I won't make fun of Danny today. I'll make fun of Myron since he's not here.
What we do.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Brad.
I'll just look at his way.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm Brad Swigert, and representing the Strategic Employee Benefit Services Division of Northwestern Mutual. And Lowell Eisenhower, of course, is with us today, too, our local representative, who works directly as needed with the program here in Gage County, and Amber Anderson, who is also one of my counterparts from Omaha. And she works, I think, with Don about daily on things as necessary. So we'll start by saying, you know, we, of course, appreciate the opportunity of helping you with this. And we have enjoyed our meetings. We've had numerous meetings with the Insurance Committee over the last year. And some of the changes, all of the changes, I think, have made a direct savings to the county. Just to be brief, I will just maybe give you a little overview of where we're at, some of the things we've discussed, and then if you look inside the packet I handed out, the Gage County Renewal 2014, we kind of just tried to put it in a little bit of a bullet point form without going into great detail. Well, first of all, let's talk about the last year, if we could. If you recall, we had no increase in the fixed costs for 2013 to 2014. And I will also tell you that year to date, as compared to the year prior to that, we're running about $57,000 better at this point. So that looks real well. So in effect, what we're anticipating is you'll have a reduction in costs for 2013 to 2014 as compared to 2012 and 2013, which is good. That can directly be attributed to a variety of things probably, but two things that were probably important is RCI's premier billing may have had an impact on that, as well as the change to the in the prescription drug, which has been a significant savings for the county. Probably will come in about a 40 or 50% savings with Partners RX's compared to ABC. That's not necessarily a fair statement that anything was wrong with ABC, because we can't directly compare how many prescriptions were filled versus how many prescriptions were filled. So, but that's just the real numbers. We all know that with health care reform, there's some things that are driving the costs of health care up. And basically, you know, no pre-existing conditions anymore, coverage for clinical trials, medical co-pays will accumulate, and we'll spend a second and talk about that. That just means that in the past, when you went to the doctor and you had your $20 office copay or your $40 office copay, whatever it might be, those amounts did not go toward your out-of-pocket for the year. They do now. So someone that now they don't affect the deductible. You still have the deductible, but for the out-of-pocket, they go toward that. So someone that has high utilization, that will help them have actually less out-of-pocket total because of the deductible and copay going toward that. And then next year, the prescription will go into that category also. The renewal was initially at 18% for the year moving forward on your fixed costs. Now, keep in mind that just like our fixed costs with no increase last year, that could be, that's just an estimate on that area, but the self-insured part can certainly fluctuate up or down from that, as we discussed just a second ago. But we were able to negotiate that down to 13% increase. We did look at fully insured quotes for the county, which was not a competitive idea at this point, and three reinsurers quotes for the self-insured portion, and your current reinsurer was the cheapest of those three. So we would recommend or plan to stay with that. The committee, we talked about a variety of things, a slight increase in the out-of-pocket for the employees, which is outlined there for you, which is still very competitive in today's, and we reviewed difference in deductibles and so forth, and we discussed those and came back with these recommendations. We are recommending, and came out of the committee recommendation, that we eliminate the health reimbursement account. Really, it was six of one, half a dozen the other. That's been in force since you went self-insured, and quite honestly, it's kind of a redundant, I shouldn't say redundant, it's a lot of work for Dawn and her staff to just do those health reimbursements accounts. So we're anticipating recommendation would be to have just a plain 500 deductible rather than a 500 deductible and a reimbursement to the 1,000, which is basically the same. And so that would be the recommendation there. So everything is pretty much running fairly smooth. There are some, there's no large anticipated claims currently going on, and that's good. And things are going well. We do plan, as we have in the past, to have an employee meeting next week on Tuesday at Riskies. We changed that to Riskies, plan to do that in two sessions, and I think that's been all coordinated and so forth. So anyway, that's kind of our report. There's a lot of stuff in this packet that we could go over, and I think unless you want to, we don't need to, but I know I've seen several of you looking through it a little bit. So does anybody have any specific questions?
The recommendation today will be the renewal of the $1,000 deductible.
500
deductible.
500. Okay, so we go down a little bit in deductible, but we go up a little bit in another area, so it just balances. Basically, the cost is approximately the same. Don, you want to?
Well, on that deductible, we had basically 500 before. It was just labeled as 1,000. Initially, thought it was saving us some dollars. The cost that we're paying for this HRA, we're paying about $5,000
a year
to administer, giving back that second 500, and so.
And then also the staff time to do it, not even that.
There was a lot of confusion with that on when that second 500, those dollars were being paid back to the employees or the provider. If they'd been paid, there was a lot of lag time there, and it created a lot of issues.
It's another EOB, explanation of benefit, for every claim you have. And then the check has to be cut, and it's quite time-consuming.
As we looked at everything, we felt very comfortable with what's happening and what we'll go forward with. We would recommend to the board to approve it.
Any questions? You got off easy. Hand a big packet like that, and it was just explained
it's
so well.
It's a lot of preliminary work with the committee that resolve that.
We will have an increase, though, in premiums for the employees. There is going to be some increase.
Right. It's actually $13 a month for an employee and one dependent, and it'd be about $14 a month for a family. So it's still, I don't want to downplay it as being insignificant, but it really is as compared to. And the benefits of some of the things that are included as far as the routine things that were non-existent in the past would certainly offset that for anybody that had to utilize. I would point out one thing I think is always good to know, because you guys probably only get calls on Saturdays from people that are disgruntled about something, not saying everything's going smoothly, is the average days from service to bill being received by RCI from the providers is 18, and the average days from processed is 10, and the average days processed to paid is 16. So anybody that would ever say, you know, well, they sure aren't paying very fast, would say, well, that's because your provider's not getting them the bill quicker.
Now, I did notice, and you're dealing with healthcare issues, when you cough, you go into your arm like this. You don't go like this, okay? Just wanted to let you know that.
My wife tells me that, too.
You listen to your wife?
I really don't, but sometimes I do.
All right, you go home and tell her we're in agreement?
Yeah, right. Thank you for reminding me.
All right.
Benny always is very insightful on those kind of things.
All right, so okay, I'm going to call for a motion to approve or disapprove health insurance for the Gage County employees.
I would move to approve.
By Byers, and maybe just state what plan where, boy, I don't know how to state all that.
I would just say with a change in deductible as compared, like plan, change in deductible from 1,000 to 500, eliminating the HRA.
Right. And council is okay with
Sounds
that.
Sounds good. Okay. Yeah, that'll be good enough.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Any further discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve.
Okay, thanks. And any of you that feel that you might have time next week, I think it's always beneficial to have, you know, some representatives there with the employees. I'm reminded that a couple years ago when we did this for the first time, Gary got up and said, okay, guys, this is the guys you're supposed to be, I think it was the word complaining to, you know, because you want to complain to us, ask them. And so, but.
It was a different Gary.
No, it was him. It was him.
It was.
He looks familiar.
What time are your meetings?
I got you on that one.
Are we meeting at 10:30 and 12:30?
Yes.
10:30 and 12:30 at Risky. So
Tuesday, August 26th.
August
26th.
I don't recall.
Hot beef sandwich or chicken fried steak.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, either or.
Now, is that a heart healthy, as we're talking insurance?
I don't know.
Is there a fruit and veggie plate available?
Maybe. Is that what you want, Matt?
I think we'll check. But we did make sure that the beverage was iced tea or water, I believe, or something like that.
That was so, my next question.
So you're covered there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really did. I hope you guys can put that in the paper. Like last year, I had people from all over calling me saying, boy, you really do a good job, Brad, down there at Gage County, saving them money. So that was great.
Hey, work in the media just before you leave.
Invite them to the meal.
But Brad said, I don't know why they didn't put Don. Yeah, I didn't put anybody else's name. Right. Yeah, you can come to lunch, too. Thank you.
Lunch is being provided.
Take care.
Let's, before we let Terry monopolize our rest of our morning, we're going to go to approve or disapprove amending a resolution 14-02 to add health insurance paragraph that was left off. And 1402, is that our handbook?
That was a previous resolution on the salaries and everything that we set.
What's the paragraph say?
It's an added paragraph to give the elected officials the opportunity to in lieu of the insurance. And you should have a copy of that in your somewhere in your pile.
It's basically to keep me off the insurance.
Here.
What's that?
It's basically to keep me off the insurance.
Here's what it is. It was in the resolution prior to the previous resolution.
Okay, so I'm just going to read this. Be it further resolved that in addition to the above salary of the above elected officials, including the members of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, may elect to receive during his or her term of office a payment per month in lieu of the county's payment as described above for the county's health and medical plan of 50% of what the county is paying at the time of the monthly single premium paid under the county's health and medical plan that is being offered to all county employees. That's
what was in the previous resolution.
That's what was in the previous resolution.
And that new resolution number will be 14-20 then.
So the new one will be 14-20. So what's the, what are we going to add a paragraph? What's the actual paragraph? That's the one
that add we paragraph added. That
be
left, yeah, okay. That one was okay, left
so that
off
was off, so I added that.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the paragraph that I just read for the record. Motion.
I'd move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote 6-0 to approve. All right, we have a closed session, but to discuss personnel. So we're going to give Terry the floor to discuss how he plans to spend $8 million or $7.9 million.
Now let me point this out. These are Myron's figures, so anybody got a complaint, call Myron when he gets back in.
Terry and I think just did whatever Myron said, right?
Don't they, Dawn?
What's
did
that?
Everybody get a sheet like this?
Yes.
Of Myron's?
I think Beatrice's first football game, they're going to have a dunk tank, so maybe they'll, after we get through doing this, there'll be seven people that maybe want to.
Where is it?
Fundraiser,
there you go.
Anyway, the I'll go through this kind of step by step, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to stop, and Don will answer them. first off, in the new budget, the tax asking will be $8,012,645.76. And that represents an increase of 1.6716%. An increase in dollars and cents amounts to $131,737.91, which would put the levy at 0.336924. That's with the bond. So there's actually a reduction in the levy. But, of course, we've had more dollars to pull from. I'll start out with the road and bridge. And kind of give you the highlights of what we've done there. Budget for next year will be $4,877,925, which is approximately an 8% increase from last year. Last year, Myron had increase was 7.2%. The increase is mainly due to the construction equipment that is in bad need of replacement. Last year, of course, we bought the truck and the snowplow dump box combination, and that was $161,750. Versus this year, that budget or that line item was increased to $565,000. Those items are scheduled for replacement will be one new crew truck, backhoe, track loader, and rubber tired backhoe. Those are big ticket items. With that being said, there's a large portion of the increase right there. County Rock is budgeted $190,000, asphaltic material $150,000, county gravel $200,000, and then Township Rock and Gravel $662,285. The materials we just spoke about represents about 14% or 14.5% Myron has of the county's tax asking. So those, we said it many times, I mean that's a big chunk of the budget goes to material outlay. Culverts for next year, $200,000, steel products, $110,000, and concrete $200,000 for a total of $510,000 for culverts, bridge replacement and culvert replacement. There was one bridge that was Gaydon would like to have seen on the drawing board for next year. We had to remove simply because we didn't think we could afford it. This one replacement we do have scheduled is the bridge right north of Ellis on the Blacktop Road down there. It's a narrow bridge, been a issue for quite a few years, I think. So that is scheduled for next year to be replaced. Of course, no money for armor coating this year. Last year we increased that significantly and got that covered and got caught up, we feel, for now anyway. Sheriff's budget. Personnel cost, I'll start there. Personnel cost amount to about 77% of the sheriff's budget. We've proposed a 5% increase. The total amount for next year will be $1,419,41. Don, what's the figure?
$1,041,000.
$1,041,000 versus $992,000. I'll round these numbers off a little bit rather than going way out there. Or an increase of 5%. As I stated, personnel cost it amounts to 77% of the sheriff's budget. We've allocated $58,392 for vehicle purchases and budgeted $50,000 for jail repair versus last year of $122,000. These are items for upgrades from the fire marshal. Jail budget. It's budgeted at $808,751 versus $716,591 for last year. But remember, $85,000 was added because of a shortfall because of prisoner allocation, prisoner money we needed because all the extra prisoners we've had there in this last year. So the increase is basically a 5% increase there. Personnel cost at the increase is about 3.4% there. I'm sorry. I was up one, two line. I think personnel, he had that someplace, I thought, on the jail.
Number five there on the jail.
Personnel cost is about 50% of the total budget there for the jail department. So... included $28,000 for vehicle purchase, which would be a different van for transportation of the prisoners. And the other one is getting age and felt wasn't dependable anymore. So all the miles are being put on it. That's in that jail budget there. Hickory Road. We've budgeted $572,000 approximately. This will be used for the bridge east of the Blue River Bridge, for box culverts, grading, right-of-ways, railroad crossings, and engineering. This funding will be taken out of inheritance and road and bridge sinking. As proposed right now, the construction will be done in two phases. The west mile first, which is west of the Blue River Bridge, and then the final 3 miles going back east. So I think finally we'll be seeing something done. You know, I mean, the biggest complaint I've had from people is we've been talking about this for years and years and years. When are you going to do something? So the stage is set. Next year you're going to see something. Significant progress in that area.
Approximately 47 years is what I was.
Is that what it is?
just saying.
Okay. And last on this, on the sheet that Myron has, outside legal fees. Last year we spent $428,638 for outside legal fees. We budgeted $300,000 this year versus what we'd budgeted last year was $200,000. Likely we'll have another trial this year. Hopefully not, but it could happen. So we'll wait and see what happens down the road. That's why that sum is high. And on the last sheet, you'll see, you know, how the counties operated or are done in the last 5 years, 6 years down the road. This year, we're proposing a 1.67% increase. Last year is 3.51. So we're trying the best we can. I mean, I hear it, you know. Boy, these taxes are getting hard to pay. They're getting higher and higher. So in the future, I think in the road budget, we have these big ticket items bought. I see we can significantly maybe decrease that budget next year, depending on how Hickory plays out. But hopefully, you know, I get it. I understand it. Taxes are taxes. But we've done a lot of work, you know, in the past, say 10 years, as far as improving the internal system, however you want to put it, of Gage County. So I think, and we've continued that strong.
I think the committee worked very hard to go line by line to look at areas that we could decrease spending wherever we could. If there were increases or changes, it was try to be positive for the people of our county and to make good expenditures. So I think the committee, Myron and the committee, did an excellent job of putting it together.
Off and on, we had four members on the committee, of course, Myron, chair, and Denny Byers, John Hill, and myself. So we all worked on that. Spent quite a few hours, and I guess I better give the largest kudos to Dawn. I mean, she works daily on this stuff all day long, and her staff. So, I mean, she put together these numbers, kind of helped us out, went through it, and I guess she's the main one behind most of these figures. So, and big help, big help. So if you got any questions, ask Dawn.
I'm glad you took out Jurgens Boulevard down there in Glenwood Township. That was good, Dawn.
Funny that you slipped me for that.
Yeah, that's going to save that paving project.
A few other, this just comes on our balance sheet. In the inheritance tax fund right now, we have $2,444,722, a little less than $2.5 million in that fund. And that highway bond fund we talked about earlier, it showed a balance of $69,516 in that. So, other than that, these are kind of the final numbers we looked at. Any questions? Anything anybody wants to look at on it?
I gotta say, good job.
Well,
good job.
Myron will probably elaborate more than I did on these numbers next time he's here. So if there's any questions, he would be a better source than I would on this stuff.
We will have our public hearing formally on the 3rd of September. And then we'll take any – that's just part of the process, take any additional last calls, if you will. If there would be any changes requested after that, we would have to have a special meeting, and then we'll take – formal approval on the 17th, and it's got to be up to the state by the 20th. So 17th, I would say, any last calls really got to get in before the 3rd. So if you hear anything, if people, I know we've talked about this formally, I think we've had it on the agenda at least, this is the 3rd or the 2nd time, so we've tried to get that out there. So if you get any feedback, I'd get that to Myron or somebody on the Finance Committee ASAP.
Yes, before the 3rd, if possible, because we have to publish that.
There's publishing costs and timelines.
Well, I have to publish it 5 days before, so any changes I have for the hearing.
And just tell Roger's office no. That's going to take care of him.
My calendar went down. We're trying to find it within my budget. So. Google took that freebie away.
All right. But again, excellent. That's just good. Good job. All right. Last thing we have is closed session. We're going to discuss personnel. And necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injuries or reputation of an individual. And that always sounds punitive, but sometimes we're not always talking about bad things. Sometimes they're just personnel things. But that's the official thing that we have to say. So I need a motion to go into closed session at 10:09.
Move we go into closed session at 10:09.
If I can.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Vote 6-0. Oh.
That would be a good idea.
Okay, let's stay. Where'd he go?
He left. You want him?
Yeah.
I could sit there in that.
What's that?
If I could just sit there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was telling him. And see what time it is.
Yeah, I was going to.
What is this?
You've got it worked out.
I mean, most of the time they're just
use that well.
Yeah,
it's been through those things. They just have the officer just has some
Mark Armorall to put in the year, and now every time I go around the corner, I slide down.
Explain it to the guy.
I have to hang on tight.
I don't know. I don't. What is that?
Well, the reinsurance kicks in after one person gets $45,000.
No,
so it's per person, and so we just pay the claims. And then reinsurance kicks in. Yeah. So we did have a couple that
Scooter, you need me to loan you a tire and saw a better day.
Okay.
Need a motion to come out of closed session at 11:19.
So moved.
Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Vote 6-0. We are out of the session. Anything else for Board of Supervisors? Seeing none, we'll be adjourned 11:19.